people could just say something to someone next to them again, what's a first reaction? Or we're not going to be able to hear a lot of questions from people, but it's a way to get a lot of material out on the table. Tell the person next to you a first reaction or a thought, or if you could ask your question, what it would be. So just we'll take 1 minute to do this, and then we'll open it up.
Actually, you're new to me today, but I was wondering if the real issue is not the taboos around sexuality. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's on.
Okay. The taboos around sexuality in general, that even heterosexism is an uncomfortable norm for the church, that when we talk about loving our neighbor as ourselves, we really mean it as more about taking them a casserole than really loving them. And it seems that taboos around sexuality lead to inevitable things like the Ted Haggard situation. And I've heard chatter among people that are struggling with a more conservative background when they first become aware of this, that the language of the church is very sexual. That people sing constantly about loving Jesus. They talk about the passion. Nuns become the bride of Christ. So I wondered if you had any thoughts about that.
Yes, thank you. Oprah, this is... I do. I think you're right that the term heterosexism is a new one for many people because they haven't realized, just as many of them have not understood how deeply ingrained racism or sexism are in our tradition. They haven't realized that the issue is not whether people are in same-sex relationships, but whether we discriminate against people because of the gender constellation of their couple or triad or whatever it may be that they're engaged in, which is another topic of discussion. But I think that what happens is that we are pushing hard against what it means to love. And I think you make a good point that it's not simply the kind of charitable work, but it really is learning to live with the diversity among us. This is a postmodern approach to these things. It's not simply the question of loving in the act, doing the loving thing, but it really is more existentially understanding that people are different, and I'm not going to make them like me, but we have to find a way in this world to live together. And this is why I'm connecting the question of heterosexism with the larger issues, because I think the same dynamic is at play in terms of empire building, of economic injustice, of racism, and so forth. And I think to see these things in a parallel way, they're very different in their manifestations, but there are enough dynamic parallels to begin to see something new emerging. Yeah.
I'm glad you like Dan McGuire. His book, Sacred Choices, Reproductive Choice in 10 World Religions, has been a very valuable text for me in understanding women's reproductive rights. I was valiantly trying to capture your words by taking notes and fell way behind. Can we get copies of your remarks, either hard copy or online? That'd be wonderful. That'd be super. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be happy to make a text available. No problem. Yeah.
I was wondering how you define heterosexism to people who have never thought, and I think you started to do that by your response to her, but I wondered if you could go further with it in imagining a conversation.
Yeah, I think you have to give examples. You sort of start with 101 on something like this. You begin at the very beginning that, and this is where the marriage thing, which I shy away from because I'm not entirely in favor of same-sex marriage. I have done a lot of writing about the problems with marriage, and I think same-sex marriage is a part of those. And if you can look that up in the Journal of Feminist Studies in Religion, there's a roundtable discussion that actually wrote the set piece, and then five or six people responded to raising critical questions about same-sex marriage from the point of view of people who don't want ourselves to be discriminated against, but at the same time don't want people to have more relationships under state control, and to privilege those, as I say, who are lucky in love, who get privileged legally, versus those who are single or otherwise don't want to be in a, you know. And also because if you're married, you're one person away from, if you're coupled, you're one person away from being single. So it's not a really very good investment either to begin to think about how we re-understand the context in which we set up laws and rights and so forth. So that's a whole discussion that I think we need to have. But in terms of heterosexism, I think it's very important to start with the basics. You know, kids understand why somebody gets to be friends and somebody else doesn't get to be friends. You know, why can I love you, but I can only like you? I remember as a child, that was very, I was very perplexed when my mother said, well, you'll love a man. And I said, well, I love Susie. You know, well, no, you'll like Susie, but you'll love John or Bob or Todd or whomever it might be. And I think it's very basic. I think also to show people how, and that's why the adoption example is such a good one, because nobody wants to leave our children languishing in institutions. That's why I hope you felt a certain moral repugnance at what Catholic Charities did, led by Brian Hare, the former Dean of Harvard Divinity School, by the way, and MacArthur Fellow for writing the Bishop's Anti-Nuclear Pastoral, and someone who should know better, in my view, a serious and brilliant scholar who should know better than to have made that decision, in my view, and I've made that clear in writing. But I think those are the examples that I think help people to see that it's heterosexism that would keep children, certain children, from being with parents. It's not homosexuality. Okay, so that begins to distinguish it. But it's like teaching people about racism. We have whole programs that have been, to varying degrees, helpful in terms of doing anti-racist education, but it will take generations. So I'm not optimistic this is going to happen this morning, but I am quite persuaded that if we keep talking about homosexuality, we will simply be wasting a lot of time. And also, such good work has been done that you can refer people to many resources.